Good morning. Let's get started. You know how wordy I am, and I've got to give y'all time to discuss your homework. Now, you did do your homework, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Where are these people today? They are gone. They are MIA. Let's open with a word of prayer, and we'll jump right in. I'm so glad you're here this morning. I hope you're enjoying this study. I know I am. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you for the blessing of the beauty of the day, the sunshine, the joy of living in Brookhaven together and serving together and for our church and our church family. We just ask your blessing now on us as we study from your word. We pray, Father, that you will just fill our hearts with joy, that you will teach us, that we will be good students, that you'll give us ears to hear this morning. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome back this morning to our study on contentment. And today is our third lesson. And we're going to be looking this morning at chapter 2 in our lesson. This chapter is entitled God's Promises. Now, before we get into today's chapter, let's just have a little bit of a review and write down a few things of what we've seen already, just to kind of help us get into our lesson today. And so, we said this as we began our study. Y'all come on in. Good morning. We've got coffee, orange juice, and donuts, so help yourself. We said a good definition of the word contentment is this. So fill in the blank. Contentment is a deep satisfaction with the will of God. Now, what does that mean, Teresa? Well, it means that I understand that God is my king. He is sovereign over my life. He's not up there hoping things work out for me. He is in absolute control over everything that is occurring in my life. And he's good, and he's powerful, and he makes wonderful promises to me that he works everything together for my good. And so I understand, I'm satisfied because I'm trusting him. He's on his throne. He is controlling all of history. He's sovereign. That gives me satisfaction in my life to trust him in the good times, in the bad times. Okay? Another thing we said last time is this. Contentment is not a fruit of the Holy Spirit. It just doesn't come natural is what I'm just trying to say. Contentment is something that can be learned. So write that on your handout. It's something that you and I are going to have to learn. And so you know what? We're in Sunday school this morning. And we're learning together. And we're learning about this wonderful state that's available to us that you and I can really learn to be content. It does not come natural, does it? It does not come natural. Now, last week, we looked at the Father's contentment first. And we talked about that on each day of creation, his conclusion at the end of each day, he saw what he had done. And what was his conclusion? Do you remember? It was good. And then when he got to the sixth day and everything was complete, then he said this, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed, it was very good. He was satisfied. He was contented with what he had done. So what I want us to see is, what did he do on the seventh day?
Rested.
He rested. So here's what we're going to say. Contentment leads to rest. So write that on your handout. And then we talked about the son's contentment. Isaiah speaks of Jesus as being a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. His very purpose for coming was to lay down his life and to die for us. That was his very purpose. And so as we look at his life, we're like, gosh, how could he be content? What he was called to do was a very hard thing, wasn't it? And even though as Jesus faced the cross in the Garden of Gethsemane on that Thursday night, right before he was to die, he was wrestling with God in prayer, and he was deeply grieved. And the Bible said he was so grieved, he was grieved to the point of death. And angels had to come and minister to him in that hour. And he was wrestling with God in prayer. And he was basically saying, this is so hard, God. If there's any other way, will you let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, look at it on your handout. It says in Matthew 26:42, my Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, he's speaking of this cup of the wrath of God. If it cannot pass away, then here's what he said. I want your will to be done. Now he's submitting to the will of God. Go back to our definition. What is contentment? It's being satisfied with the what? Will. The will of God. Now, it wasn't wrong for him to wrestle with God and say, oh, God, this is hard. Would you deliver me? Would you do it a different way? Have you ever done that in prayer? Oh, God, please, this is hard. I don't want this. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And when he got up from prayer in the garden, he was satisfied. He was content to die. And as he got up from there, everything he faced from that point on, he was in complete control of his situation. And he walked through it all. And he submitted to God. And he went freely to the cross. No one took his life from him. He laid his life down. He submitted to that. And because he did, it resulted in his glorification and his exaltation. And the Father was content to send his Son to face that cruel cross. And the Son was content to be the sacrifice, the lamb slain on that cross. Now, so what about when I'm called to walk through a difficult time, Teresa? Well, I can learn. I can learn from Jesus. I can look at how he faced his hard trial, and I can learn that I can be satisfied with the will of God. So I want us to write down two ingredients of contentment that we can draw from Christ in his experience. Number one is obedience. That's the first thing, obedience. And then number two, humility. You see, he didn't count the fact that he was the Son of God as something that he had to grasp. He freely humbled himself to the will of God and obeyed. Now that is a lesson for you and I. Both of those are necessary if you're going to learn contentment. Now for this morning, let's go to chapter 3. And we're going to see how are we going to build chapter 2, a contented life. I know. I tell y'all, I don't have any business being your teacher. Now, what is our foundation going to be in our lives? What foundation do we need that's going to result in me being contented? And I want to go ahead and just give you the answer to that question, and then I'm going to show you what I mean. So the answer to that question, what's the foundation? Here it is. It's the promises of God. So put that on your handout, the promises of God. And so we see the command from the Word of God that comes to us to be content. And God's word backs up that command with a promise. Now, let me show you what I mean. Let's go this morning to a different scripture. Let's leave Philippians. We're going to come back to it in a minute. Let's go to Hebrews. And we're going to go to Hebrews 13, verse 5. Now, look carefully with me at this scripture. If you're daydreaming, wake up. I want you to hear this morning. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now that, ladies, is a command from Scripture. It's a command. I want you to receive it this morning as God is commanding you to be without covetousness and to be content with such things as you have. Now, look at the rest of the verse. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Who has said that? Who's speaking there? God. You need to be content, for God himself has told you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. Now, where is that coming from? Well, that is a quote out of Joshua chapter 5, and we want to study our Bibles this morning. So let's first write down the command. The command is to be content. That's your command this morning. And what is the promise that we find in that verse? The promise is this. God himself has said, I will never leave you, Teresa. I will never forsake you, Teresa. I'm with you, Teresa. I'm with you, Babs. I'm with you, Marcia. I will never leave you, Louise. You can take that to the bank this morning. Now, I remember as a new Christian, studying my Bible early in the morning. I was getting used to the Bible. I didn't know really how to handle the Bible. I was all brand new at it. But I remember getting a promise of God that was in Scripture, and it was this verse. It was, but if you'll just seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, everything else will be added to you. I was a young mom with more babies. I was totally outnumbered. And it was overwhelming to me. And we were struggling financially. I could not work. I had too many babies. And I just remember sitting there early that morning. And I looked at that promise and I said, God, could that be true? I really said that. Could that be true? That if I, as a young mom and a young wife, would set my heart to seek your kingdom and your righteousness, then you tell me if I will do that, you will add everything else I need. Everything. And I just remember sitting there and thinking, you know what, God, I'm going to take you at your word. And I have built my life on that verse and many, many others. I've learned that you can take God at his word. Now listen to me. When he says to you, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you, you are my precious daughter, you are my very own lamb. But I feel so unworthy. It doesn't matter what you feel. What matters is what does God's word say? And you're going to build your life on that word. You're going to build your life on it. So this morning, we're building our life on a promise right here. Let's talk about Joshua. Who is he anyway? Well, do you remember way back in the book of Exodus? Moses had led the children of Israel out of bondage in Egypt. You know the story. And after they got released and they were over and they were on the other side of the Jordan River, and then there was the land of Canaan. This is the land God had promised them. It was a land flowing with milk and honey. And it was a good land. And God said, I'm going to give you this land. And so they got across the Jordan, and Moses was a wise leader. He took one man from every tribe. There were 12 tribes. And he sent them as spies to go look at the land. They came back. 10 of those men were overwhelmed because you know why? Giants lived in that land. They were strong. They were fortified. They had big walls around their city. The 10 of them said, there is no way. We will never be able to take this land. And 2 of the men, Joshua and Caleb, said, God says it's ours. Let's go get it. They were the only 2 that had faith. They were the only 2 that believed God. And then what happened was, because the 10 ruled, they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until all of that generation died and the new generation was going to get to take the land. Who was going to lead them? Because Moses had died. And God chose Joshua to be the leader, to take Moses' place. Those were some awesome shoes for him to fill. I mean, sure, Joshua, we're just going to march right into the promised land, all those fortified cities of giants, and we're going to take their land. Just tell them, God said it's ours. Would y'all move out? And they surely they will. Well, we don't even have an army. We've just been wandering around for 40 years, but God spoke to Joshua. He gave him words that gave him courage and comfort. Now look at Joshua 1:5 on your handout. This is what God said to Joshua. Joshua, just like I was with Moses, I will be with you. Joshua, I will not leave you nor forsake you. Now that is what the writer of Hebrews was just quoting. That very verse, Joshua 1:5-1, out of the Old Testament. Joshua may not have had a great army, but Joshua had the promise of God. Joshua, I'm with you. Joshua, I will never leave you. Joshua, I will not forsake you. Joshua, I will never abandon you. You will not go into the battle alone. I'm enough for you. You can trust in me. I will never take my presence away from you. What an amazing promise. What an amazing promise. But let me show you something. It was a conditional promise. And because it's followed by verses 6-9, let's look at them really fast. Be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to your fathers to give them. Only, Joshua, you be strong. You be very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the left hand or to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, look, don't let it depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will have success. No, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. What incredible words. 3 times God tells Joshua, you be strong, you be courageous. Now, it will take courage for us. Dear sisters in the Lord, this morning, it's going to take great courage for us to obey God, to believe His promises, to follow Him, to trust Him completely. Now, these were amazing promises given to Joshua if he were obedient and courageous. What were the promises? Let's write them down. Well, you're going to inherit the land. That's the first thing. Then this, you're going to prosper wherever you go. And then this, you're going to have good success. And not only that, you're going to experience prosperity. Now, I like those promises. You're going to inherit the land. You're going to prosper wherever you go. You're going to have good success, and you're going to enjoy prosperity. But there were conditions. Let's write the conditions down. What was Joshua going to have to do? He was going to have to keep all the law. God said, don't turn from it. And then he's going to have to do this. Don't let it depart from your mouth. You need to speak the word of God. And then this, you're going to have to meditate on it day and night. And then you're going to have to do this. Observe to do according to all that is written in the law. You know what? You're going to have to live very carefully, Joshua. Can I tell you something? Listen to me. God's grace is not some cheap grace that you can get your little insurance policy and then you live your life any way you want to. How you walk your life matters with God. It matters. How you're living your life matters. Now, this is a promise given to Joshua by God, and what a promise it was. And you know what? This promise was going to enable Joshua to be all that God was calling him to be. The Lord your God is with you, Joshua, every moment, all the way. Now, Joshua is at a crisis of belief. Is he going to step out and believe God and take God at his word? He needed to let that promise of God fill his heart with courage. He needed to meditate on that promise of God. It was going to require great courage and strength on his part. Because you know what? If you read the account of this in Exodus and in the book of Joshua, you find out that there was a lot of temptation. There was a lot of resistance. He had people around him who were fearful. Many times he was tempted to give up, but he didn't throw the towel in. And that was because he knew God was with him. And he set his face to obey. And he set his heart to believe. And it's the very same way for you and me. We need courage. We need strength, just like he did. Now, look down. Let's go to Hebrews 11, which is the great hall of faith. Let's look at verse 30, because Joshua is mentioned there. Let's see what it says. It says, by faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were encircled for 7 days. Now, Jericho was the very first city that had to be conquered as they were entering the promised land. Jericho had a huge wall around it. They were so strong. They were impenetrable. No way some little group out in the desert could come in and take them over. But God gave Joshua very specific instructions, and he kept those instructions to the letter, and the walls came tumbling down. Joshua beat the battle of Jericho. Remember that song? I might just do a little dance up here. You never know what you're going to get on Sunday mornings. And so the account of that concludes with these verses in verse 27. Look at those verses. It says, I'm back now to the book of Joshua, chapter 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame spread throughout all the country. God put a fear in every little kingdom in the land of Canaan. They were so fearful at the name of Joshua. He prospered Joshua. He gave Joshua success. And you know why? It's because Joshua did exactly what he promised to do. He did all of those conditions, and God was blessing, giving him success, giving him prosperity. And you know, he trusted in God. Now, you cannot expect God to bless you if you're not going to trust in him. You've got to trust in him. Now, turn back on your handout and look at Hebrews 13:5 one more time. Let's read it together one more time. It's on your front page. It says this, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have, For he, God himself, has said, I will never forsake you or leave you. Now here is the command for us this morning. Let your light, Teresa, be without covetousness and be content with what you have. Teresa, don't always be wanting what you don't have. Teresa, God hates covetousness. Instead, be content. Be satisfied. And this is the 10th commandment in out of Exodus 20. Look at it. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's husband, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that your neighbor has. It's all inclusive. Don't covet it. Now, Teresa, how can I do this? It's so hard. Notice it says, don't covet, but be content with what you have. So write this on your handout. Contentment takes care of the problem of covetousness. Now, how on earth can I come to that kind of a mindset to be content with what I have? And here it comes. Wake up and listen. By realizing, by meditating on this unbelievable, stupendous, amazing, incredible promise given to us as well as given to Joshua. And here it comes out of Hebrews. He himself has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. Teresa, no matter your circumstance, take courage. Be strong. You can know that in every condition, I will never leave you. That is the promise that I want you to hang on to this morning. Now let's run quickly, and I'm almost done, to Philippians, and let's look at the verse that is kind of our theme verse, and this is what Paul said in verse 11 out of chapter 4. For I've learned to be content in whatever circumstance I am. I know how to get along with humble means. I know how to get along in prosperity. In any and every circumstance, I've learned the secret of being filled, going hungry, having abundance, suffering need. These are the verses that are the context for this very next verse. Look at it, verse 13. A verse we're all familiar with. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. How on earth can I be happy in humble means, in hard circumstances? Well, what if my husband loses his job? Well, what if my husband dies? Well, what if my children rebel? Well, what if this? What if that? I can be content because here comes the promise. God says to me, Teresa, no matter what, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. I am going to personally supply you the strength to face anything. Lean times, fat times, good times, bad times. Now, I think this is a very important chapter in our book, Learning Contentment, because you and I are learning two promises, two incredible promises to put down as a foundation. And I'm going to call them our secret Bible verses for contentment. We should memorize these verses. We should meditate on these verses. What are they? Well, they come from James 13:5. For he himself has said to me, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These two verses are a foundation for us. They steady us when the winds come in our life. They help us to take our eyes off of our circumstances and to remember that we can trust God. He's on his throne. I can rely on him. I can be strong. I can be courageous. Now let me ask you as I close, have you learned to talk to yourself? You need to learn to talk to yourself. Because we have to tell ourselves, Teresa, Remember those wonderful promises of God? You can build your life on that promise. You see, in Mark 7, Jesus healed this man. He was deaf, he was mute. And verse 37 on your handout says this, "And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, Jesus has done all things well." Can I just tell you this morning? King Jesus, your King and my King, does everything well. Can you agree with me on that? He does all things well. King Jesus is over my life. Amen? He's over your life. You're not living out there helter-skelter. He's in control of everything. He's given you and I promises that never change. They never change. They're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You can take them to the bank. That's why you can be content. Now let's open to our questions at the end of chapter 2. And I'm going to get back up right when our time's up. And I will pray with you to close it. Now, Beverly, you're at a table by yourself. Let's gather up to tables. Uh-huh, Carolyn? You want Beverly to come up here? Now, here's my promise. Next week, I'm going to go shorter. Do you believe me? Yeah, so y'all can have more time to talk. It's just, I feel like we're so rushed. We only got to two of our questions. But I'm so loving current questions and the discussion that we're having. So I promise next week, Babs, I promise I'll do better. Let's pray together. Thank you. Let's pray together. Our Father, thank you. Thank you, Father, for the truths that we're learning. Thank you today that you've given us two promises that we can use as a foundation in our life to build that house of contentment upon. So help us, Father, to meditate, memorize those two promises. Never forget them. Use them, Father, as we're growing in this area of learning how to be contented women. And I think about, our whole world of influence. If we're contented, how that's going to affect our whole worlds. It's going to influence so many others. And so, Father, thank you for this study. Bring us back next week. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, I'll see you next week. Chapter 3.